Valerie Vibens coming for a moment. It's obviously a very strong name. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Amen. You might like to open your Bibles at Psalm 8, which is page 542. I was cleaning and tidying my garage last week, a job that needed to be done urgently. And I was categorizing stuff that could be eBayed or taken to the charity shops or just tossed out and taken to the tip. Because we're having some asbestos panels removed in the garage and we need to clear the space as much as possible. And I came across some chairs, some garden chairs, I think they're called recliners. And we've had them for years. Well, I thought, do I like them? Do I still want them? And what should I do with them if the answer to that question is no? But then it occurred to me to ask, how often have I ever used them? How often have I sat in the sun and used them? And I was rather startled when I asked that last question, because I think I could count in one hand the times that I've done that. It's not that they're uncomfortable. They're very uncomfortable. This isn't an advert to sell them, incidentally, but they are comfortable seats. It's just that getting time to sit on them in the garden, simultaneous with the sun making one of its infrequent appearances, can be a problem. Life is busy, and our garden is on the large side, so that there's not much time to stand and stare, as the old poem says, enjoying the sight and recalling the Creator who started everything off with a garden. And if I'm not very careful, gardening, the garden rather, simply consists of jobs to be done over the weekend when I'm not at my desk, a border to be dug over, or vegetables to be harvested, or weeds to be yanked out. And I don't say this with any pride. I don't think it's right. And I long for the time when I can be more leisurely in my pursuit of being a gardener and have more time just to sit and admire. Well, this sitting and admiring, recalling, meditating, if you like, is the first thing I want you to notice in Psalm 8. The psalm is addressed to God. It's a hymn of praise. It's a sort of rumination, a musing on all that's important. And it's probably stimulated by something that the psalmist has noticed visually. Perhaps he's on the top of a mountain and admiring the view all around him and below him. Or maybe it's the calmness of a lake that has attracted his attention, or the depth of sunset color in the early evening that makes him stop and remember who has made it and who sustains it. And it leads him to articulate the words in verse 3 in my version, which I've been using. I'm sorry, it's slightly different. It says, when I consider, when I consider. Well, what happens when he stops to consider? Firstly, he begins to praise God, to declare his majesty and his kingship, the glory of his name. God, his Lord, our Lord, in verse 1, is the one who's instigated creation and sustains it day by day. It's like us saying, you've made all this, Lord, and I love it. I think it's beautiful. Secondly, this pause in procedures and the sight before his eyes causes him to consider man's place in creation. And by man, of course, I mean humanity. A different word in the Hebrew is used in this case, though I'm always nervous about saying such things when Alex's listening. What is man that you are mindful of him? He asks in verse 4. when he considers the vastness of space, the twinkling stars, the blazing sun, the amazing moon. And remember, he didn't have the advantages of satellites or even telescopes to magnify the spectacle that we can see with a click on the internet. It leads him along a certain line of thought. "This is all so fantastic," he says, "but it's actually so great that I, a man, a woman, feel tiny and insignificant in contrast. For who or what is man in relation to God, in relation to the angels and to the rest of the world?" the psalmist asks in verse 4. The truth embedded in this psalm is thus all the more pronounced. The psalmist notes man's exalted position in charge of creation. He notes his place of privilege regarding the animals and birds and fish of whom he's in charge. He notes that man alone is crowned with honor and glory. But more than that, as Leslie said earlier, he remembers that God is mindful of him. God cares for mankind. So in that moment of quiet contemplation, his thoughts travel from the natural creation to the Creator, to mankind, the created, and back again to God, the Lord. And it causes him to praise God at the start and at the end of the psalm, like bookends. Now, I want to suggest this morning that this psalm has, at the very least, a couple of important things to say to us now in the 21st century, as well as those we've already considered. Firstly, there are implications from this psalm for us as Christians, and these are to do with the strain of stewardship for creation found throughout the Old and the New Testaments. As a church, one of the organizations we support as part of our annual giving is Arosha, a name which means the rock. Arosha was started in the early 80s and now operates in 19 countries. And it was inspired both by the gospel and by the international global crisis to engage in scientific research and in environmental education and in community-based conservation. It started very small indeed with a group of Christian ornithologists who were interested in doing something about the killing of small migratory birds as they pass through Europe, never quite reaching their destinations. And it's grown from there. Underlying what Arosha does is faith in the living God who made the world and loves it, but entrusts it to the care of human society, to our care. So you can see easily there the link with Psalm 8. If you go onto their website, they suggest all sorts of ways that we can contribute, from donating cash, to praying, to volunteering locally, to attracting wildlife into our own gardens and planting insect-loving plants, forming a corridor through the countryside and the town. And that's one way, a very practical way, of responding to this psalm. Second, we can't ignore the impetus to cease doing and commence being. To cease doing and commence being. There is a slowing down to stop, or what we might call the contemplation element. Whether we do it in the garden, sitting on reclining chairs, is immaterial. But all of us need time out just to be and to ponder on God and on our lives and the direction we've come from and to give consideration to the path that we're on. I found that it's not easy to make this time daily or weekly or annually. Unless it becomes such a high priority in my life that I diary it in a way in advance. And eventually these good spiritual habits become so much part of me or you that we feel bereft without them. We know that Jesus got up early and went to places far away from people in an effort to pray and to take stock and to strengthen himself for his task. And if he needed to, then we need to all the more. Well, one of my roles as a reader here has been to organise more or less termly some sort of quiet time, a morning or a day or an afternoon when we've put other things aside to come together to spend time in quiet, often with someone leading us, or with icons, or with music, or readings and silence. And in this way, we have been revitalised. So this autumn, around Halloween and All Saints' Day, end of October, beginning of November, we've organised for the first time in a long time a quiet weekend at Fox Hill, which, if you don't know, is our diocesan retreat and conference centre. We have Graham Greene, not of course the novelist, but our diocesan spirituality advisor. He's leading us, and the theme that he's chosen is Made in the Heart of God. Made in the Heart of God. Graham may not be the famous novelist, but I know he is a very good storyteller, and I do warmly recommend this weekend to you. Information leaflets are at the back of church, I think they're green, and bookings can be made with Val Parry in the office. Lastly, this morning, I've cut the length of this talk right down so that we can enjoy a short time of quiet meditation together. I offer some slides that pertain to the psalm and some music to accompany them. And I suggest that you just relax and enjoy meditating on this psalm. Just so you know what will happen, there are 11 slides. Each one displays for 6 seconds. And the loop will go around 3 times, so you have time to take them in. But if you don't fancy that, you could just reread the psalm slowly, meditatively. Or you might just like to close your eyes and listen to the music and be glad that you are in the house of God. Whatever you wish to do, take time to consider the work of God's fingers. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.